Matthew chapter 28. Wonderful to have you today in the house of the Lord. Matthew 28, and we'll begin once again reading the same text, and we'll read a little beyond that as well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, His disciples came by night and stole away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his word. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together, singing these beautiful praises, enjoying the piano special and care special, and we just thank and praise you that we can come and lift our voices to you. Now please just open our ears and our hearts to your precious word today, that we may hear exactly what you would like us to hear, and only by the leadership and the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit can we learn of you, come to know you as our Lord and Savior, and then begin that wonderful walk as a Christian. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through your word today and touch every heart, Father. Those, again, that do not know you, that they'll find you today. They'll recognize that they're lost and need a Savior. Please, Lord, just speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the precious Gospels that the Lord has given us, not only through the crucifixion with the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but also with the resurrection, we have the same wonderful record in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I wanted to read it this morning. I hope that this afternoon that you would go home and read through the complete story. We will be continuing. That's the joy of coming this morning, because this evening we will be continuing the study as we look further into the resurrection and the activities that were taking place. Scripture tells us in verse 1 that in the end of the Sabbath began to dawn towards the first day of the week. And so we have learned by the other Gospels that it was before daylight, it was before the sun came up, is when they arrived at the sepulchre. And, you know, we recognize that no human eyes saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, nor have we the exact moment that our Lord and Savior came out of that grave. We do not have that information, but we know it was sometime after 6 o'clock on Saturday evening and before sunrise on Sunday morning. So we have that time period. We must believe the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, and we know that it is without error, and we recognize that In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of the folks for 40 days, and he was teaching the Word of God during that 40 days. So we have much witness and testimony of his resurrection. And we need to understand when we look at the gospel, for him to die upon the cross, that gives us allows our sin to be taken away. But if it had not been for his resurrection, we would not have life. And so it is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. God's perfect word tells us that our Lord and Savior was in that grave 3 days and three nights. And we need to understand and realize that. And many folks realize that Good Friday is the day that our Lord and Savior was crucified. And if you'll go to the Word of God, we'll find that it was actually on Wednesday. And we find that he was buried and put into the grave before sunset. Sunset was at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening, because Thursday was a high Sabbath. And we have the 3 days and the three nights. And we need to look to the Word of God. Many times men have a way of changing, and they were concerned of the Sabbath, thinking it was a Saturday Sabbath. But it was actually a high day, and that high day was on Thursday. And the Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening, right at sunset. That's the beginning of the day for a Jew. And it starts then, and it goes all the way to sunset of the following day. And so it's different than ourselves. We tend to start at midnight. That's the beginning of the next day. But in the Scripture, it's very clear, and that's the reason our Lord and Savior needed to be taken off the cross. That's the reason they came through and had broken the legs of the two thieves that were on each side. But they came to the Lord Jesus, and our Lord and Savior had already died and already given up the ghost. And so there was no reason, and we know the Scripture confirms that there were no broken bones of our Savior. And so each one of these prophecies have been fulfilled. And so when we look at the wonderful time, knowing that Jesus was buried and 3 days and three nights was in the grave, and then Jesus rose from the dead sometime after sunset on Saturday evening. Jesus quotes himself, the book of Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Without the death on the cross, there could be no salvation. We know that God, man, our Lord and Savior, was placed in the tomb, but that tomb could not hold him. Jesus came forth victorious, victory over death. It's necessary for us to know and believe that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again, because the Bible tells me so. We love that old hymn. If this be not true, I have no hope, you have no hope, if our Lord and Savior did not come out of that grave alive. It's more than just the end of the Sabbath, as it says it here in verse 1 of chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, it is truly the end of the Sabbath. There has been no more Sabbath since that day. As our Lord and Savior came out of that grave, he put an end to the Sabbath. He put an end to the law, because now it's a day of grace and not a day of law as it was prior to the death of our Lord Jesus. And so there are no more Sabbaths. Some people say, well, I go to church on Sunday, so that's my Sabbath. That's not true, because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and we worship our Lord and Savior on the first day of the week. There are no more Sabbaths. It was finished. Every commandment is listed in the New Testament except for that one. One is left out, and that's concerning the being resting on the Sabbath, because our Lord and Savior completed it and finished it. That's why we go to church on Sunday. That's why we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. What a glorious day. We worship on Sunday because he came out of that grave victorious on the first day of the week. There's no comparison between the Jewish Sabbath and the Lord's Day. And we need to understand that. We are under grace and not under the law. And so as it tells us here in verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. As we look at the joy of the before the rising of the sun, and according to the Gospels, all four Gospels, we have Mary Magdalene, the one that the Lord Jesus had cast out the seven demons, the other Mary, which was the mother of James and Joseph, and then the mother of James and John, and Joanna, that's the wife of Herod's steward. They all tell us, each one gives us different folks at who was present. They were all there at the same time, as the Word of God tells us. And so it's a joy to study the Word of God. We get to verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Mark tells us that the women on their way wondered, how are we going to roll the stone away? And so it's so important that you don't just read one gospel, but you read all of the gospels and read them in their completeness, because it's a joy. They had a common conversation. The stone is large. The stone is sealed. How are we going to ever roll that stone away? Well, our Lord God took care of that. He rolled the stone away. There was no concern. When Jesus awoke from the sleep, he shook the world. He was dead 3 days and three nights and came alive. And one man said his bedchamber for 3 days and three nights were breaking into pieces when he woke up that morning. Victory over death. You know, the world cheered at our Lord's death, but they trembled at his resurrection. Stone was removed by heavenly hands. Almighty God took care of that. And we find that, behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it, the scripture tells us. Another man said that this was proof, and he defied earth and hell alike, that you cannot, nor never will you be able to roll that stone over that grave again. And he's going to stand there in the presence. He tells us in verse 3 that his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. The angel, his countenance, and that word countenance there is more than, you know, you think of countenance just being your face, you know, an expression that you have. But the countenance of the angel was complete. And it tells us some examples here. It was like lightning, raiment white as snow. Snow, of course, the whitest snow gives us the symbol of purity and innocence. And the example and the sight that we see here, we find that it terrified the keepers that were on guard there. And these were Roman soldiers that were used to going to battle. These were Roman soldiers that brought hideous, terrible injury to prisoners, and they found a joy in doing that. These are rough men. But when they saw that angel, they trembled so much that they literally fainted. Can you imagine getting a Roman soldier to faint at a sight? Well, when they saw the righteousness, the purity, the power of these angels, they just fell over as dead men, the scripture tells us. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The fear of this angel that they saw. But what was the fear and brought to pass out in verse 4, the angel told the women that were there, fear not. It was understandable that they would be afraid. Because if it scared the soldiers to death, it was understood then that it would surely bring fear to these women. But immediately the words did not come to the keepers of the from Rome, but it did come to these women. Fear not, the scripture tells us. The angel answered and said to the woman, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. They were mistaken, because these women were seeking the living among the dead. They came, as other gospels tell us, with spices and expensive oils to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. Because you see, they watched him die on the cross. They witnessed, some of these women witnessed them laying the Lord Jesus in the tomb. And now 3 days have passed, and 3 nights have passed. And now we find they've come to finish. Why did they wait 3 days and 3 nights? Because they had to get past. It was Passover. That's the reason for the Sabbath, the special Sabbath that was on Thursday. And then, of course, they had the regular Sabbath on Saturday. And so Sunday started at 6 o'clock Saturday night. And so sometime through that night, our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. That stone was rolled away. That stone did not need to be rolled away to let our Lord and Savior out. That stone needed to be rolled away so we could see in. There was no reason he could come through there. And so as we look and we enjoy and see the risen Savior, he's come, and they were not looking in the right place. However, by seeking, they found the living Savior. It's important that we seek the Savior. It's important that we look to the Lord Jesus for our salvation. As we come today to celebrate this great event of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that each and every one of us must seek the salvation that God offers to us. Because we're born in a certain family, or because we are of this church or another church, does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And when you meet the Lord and Savior, is a day that you will never forget. Sometimes folks are very young. Sometimes folks are very old, the day that they truly meet the Lord Jesus. But it's so important that you recognize your sin, invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you. What an opportunity that is. What a wonderful joy it is. The Scripture tells us that I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And in verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. They have told, the Lord Jesus has told the disciples many times, over and over and over again, the event. And it's as clear as can be in Matthew chapter 26. And so just take your Bibles and turn just back 2 pages, and we'll come to verse 31, Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. It says, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And remember, one of those gospels said, I will see you in Galilee. And so again, as we look at the Word of God, as he said, are we listening to the Word of God? Are we listening to what God's Word says? Are we standing upon on tradition? There's an old movie, and it's a movie about the Jews in Russia. And they came to him, the father, and they said, you know, we want to get married, and the father always, and it's quite a combination of how that you find your husband and how you find your wife when it comes together, and neither have any choice. It's all done by someone else. Well, they come and ask him, I want to marry this man. And the father says, you can't. And he says, why can't I? Because it's tradition. Because it's tradition. He just kept saying that. And then afterwards, by himself, he's saying, it has to be, because it's tradition. And he looks heavenward and he says, why? Don't know. But it's tradition. And that's exactly the way many of us walk each day. We do things by tradition and not by the Word of God. And we need to see that we look to the Word of God for our source and for our power, that we don't walk by tradition, but we walk by truth. And the only truth we have is found in this precious book, our Scripture, the Word of God. And so, He is risen, as He said, Jesus' precious words. And the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus was, you must be born again. And we cannot forget those words, and we cannot look another direction thinking that someone has changed it. Man has changed it, but we cannot change the Word of God. We must trust in it each and every day. And so now as we again look at that sixth verse, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come, see the place where they lay Him, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. That was the direction from the angel given specifically right to the women here as they were seeking. And you know, that's a perfect combination. Come and see. And that's the best introduction I can give you. Come and see the cross of Calvary where Jesus died. Come and see the tomb that's empty because our Lord and Savior has risen. Come and see. And then the best words that can be given after that is go and tell. And so right there in that little part of the Scripture here in the 6th and 7th verse, come and see and go and tell. And that's what we should do. When we recognize that our Lord and Savior is risen from the dead, oh, what a day it is. What a glorious day to come. Our first gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, is given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And we know the promise was given that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the devil. And there's a time coming. There's a time coming before the millennial reign of Christ that He is going to be placed in that pit. He'll be in there for 1,000 years, then loose for a season, and then He'll be cast into the lake of fire. So we know that our Lord and Savior is victorious. We also know that the devil is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And that bruise was done upon the cross of Calvary. And so the fulfillment of that scripture verse has taken place as far as the birth of our Lord Jesus. We have an example of the salvation in Noah in the Old Testament. We have a beautiful picture of the salvation of our Lord with Abraham and Isaac, the 3 days. We have a beautiful picture of the salvation of our Lord and Savior back in Exodus when they crossed the Red Sea. It's 3 days from the time that they have slaughtered the lamb at Passover, and it's 3 days, and they go down through the Red Sea and back up the other way. What a beautiful picture of our salvation, dying in the Lord Jesus and coming back out alive, resurrected from the dead. And so important that each and every day that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And as we said earlier, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights. The Scripture tells us very clear, as He said. Do we know what He said? Do we know what our Lord and Savior said? Again, when he spoke to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was everything that every church would want. His tithes was 30% or more. His work, he was always there, always serving. And yet, you know, he came to Jesus. And Jesus told him, "You must be born again." We must be born again. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We need to believe in the mind and the heart. We must trust in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He is alive. He is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. What a joy. What an opportunity it was to come. Now, you can see that we didn't get very far through there, so you're going to have to return tonight, and that way you'll have the rest of the story. And it's so important that we come and we study the Word of God, and it's a joy to go verse by verse to see. But what a beautiful day to know the Lord is risen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come, enjoy this precious time together. I just ask that you speak to the hearts today. As we sing this closing hymn, it gives us an opportunity for the Word of God to kind of penetrate into the heart. And young and old alike, Father, we ask that you can penetrate their heart today. Get past the mind and down to that heart, and they'll recognize that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need you as a Savior. Please, please, dear Lord, touch their hearts today, all of our hearts today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.